All right, but the Bills thought they were going to go to New Orleans and have nothing but fun happening. We got live audio of them getting off the plane, and this is what we heard.
The fuck is that?
I got what I came for. After lots of gold, but the fire kept me below. You get what you paid for.
Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. How you guys feeling today?
Pretty good. Had a great Thanksgiving dinner.
Nervous.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Not much to dwell on for the Saints game. Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, we went on the road. And yes, it was nice to see like a 50% Bills Mafia invasion in the Superdome in New Orleans, but fact of the matter is they played a decimated team. If you consider this, much of a victory, that's kind of the problem, because we got to start thinking about beating good teams. You're not going to play Trevor Siemian in the playoffs. You're not going to play Davis Mills in the playoffs. You're not going to play Tua in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. So we got to up the standard a little bit. Not being negative, we just got to, be better quality teams now. Now we're in the stretch.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of with DJ here, really nervous here, because the Patriots have elements to their game that are kind of like the Bills' kryptonite. And number one is a very solid offensive line that control the line of scrimmage. Like, they have David Andrews, who's one of the best centers in the NFL. They have Isaiah Wynn on the left side and Trent Brown, who they got from the Raiders, on the right side. And combine that is with a very underrated running game. Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Like, they're not really that much talked about because there's other duos who are, more well-known, Ingram, Kamara, et cetera. But Damian Harris has like the 10th most carries out of most all running backs. Like, he is an absolute powerhouse stud, and Ramondre Stevenson is like developing right behind him, and it's very underrated.
One thing I got to ask you guys, since this is the first time we're going to be talking about this, since it happened, what does this defense look like, especially the first game after Trey White gets injured? How do they adjust?
They got to get after the quarterback. I think that they have to get pressure to make it a little bit easier on the corners, make the quarterback throw under some distress, especially a rookie in Mac Jones. I think that's going to be key, is getting pressure to Mac Jones. And in kind of confusing him with the looks he's going to get, and then seeing, how Levi and Dane pick up the slack, because those guys, they're not corner, CB1s. They're not going to replace Trey White. They're just going to have to do damage control. So
they could actually do two avenues where I actually want to get your guys' opinion on this. Is that what DJ said, either Levi or Dane stepping up, but the Bills have a lot of good, like, underrated safeties on their roster, and then what they can do is that they can bring Micah Hyde into like a cornerback role, where, because that's actually where he was originally drafted, as like a slot cornerback for the Packers. And so I'm actually wondering if that would be another route that they could go, because I really think they have some underrated safeties that they could bring in. And not, of course, you can't really replace Micah Hyde at a spot, but what do you think, DJ?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I talked about that with Gabe the other day, that, Micah could do that. And then you slide in Hamlin in Micah's spot, yeah, and you see what you got. I mean, Hamlin's probably the future there anyways, so you test it early. I just worry if Micah can keep up, with these receivers not normally doing that these days. And he's a little bit older now. So, I mean, I guess we got the scheme for it. Playing his own kind of helps, but that would be my concern with Micah Hyde, is he ready, and can he cover, the Patriots wide receivers effectively enough?
You got to say, though, for the safety, both Poyer and Hyde, I think this is like the best year of their respective careers.
Yeah.
Like, Poyer has 5 interceptions already. That's nuts. Gabe?
Yeah. So with that, I think especially with the Patriots, it might be a good start if you want to try doing new things, because there's not really many burners on the Patriots. That's just not their style. So if you're going to try something like that, this might be a good game to do that. I know the Patriots, even though they're not really that explosive, they still find ways to score 30 plus points. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But with Hyde in general playing maybe in a corner role, I think it'll be situational stuff, clutch moments. I don't think it'll be a whole game stretch where you see him as a corner. I think, it's going to be very situational. I think the veteran in him is going to need to step up in key clutch plays, like whether it be end of a half, end of a game, to seal a game or something like that. I'm going to refer to something Greg Thompson said to us back before the season, where it's more schematics than it is personnel. Yeah, of course, you want to have the best players as possible, no doubt about it. And it's definitely not a better team without Trey White. But if you have a good enough scheme and coaching, you might be able to survive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Leslie Frazier said something this week about how, you know, Dane Jackson is 100% not Trey White, and don't expect him to be Trey White. And I mean, that is the reality of it. I mean, I think you can't set the bar too high on these guys. They're where they are because of who they are, and they're not Trey White. There's only five corners, maybe six corners better than Trey White. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
In regards to putting pressure on Mac Jones, what do you guys think will be more of, obviously with the schemes to be different, but do you think it'll be more effective, like putting out their older pass rushers, Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, or do you think that the young edge rushers would be given more of a shot here with Epenesa and Russo? Because I think they do with the young, they have more upside to maybe get there, but like the edge rushers are more veteran, or like know more of the power moves to what they can handle. So I'm actually wondering what you guys think of this.
Yeah, I think if it's up to me, I'm saying speed kills.
Mm-hmm.
Let the young guys loose. They're gonna be able to smoke past. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots line is not fantastic, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's just solid.
It's an average line, right?
Well, they're really good. I don't know. Bill Belichick's always had very good lines, and I think that this one is. It's still a very solid line, and I think they have good veterans. So it's gonna be obviously they want the veterans who are more versatile, but I think the young edge rushers could be the game breaker for this.
Yeah, yeah, I think I would let we haven't seen Russo really do much since the Chiefs game, and Epenesa has kind of been, So I would say let those guys eat a little bit. Ed Oliver is going to be, I think Ed Oliver is going to be, he's going to be an issue because with Starr coming back, I think Ed Oliver is going to have a pretty good game, or could have a pretty good game. And then I think the key, I mean, Gabe, I'm sure you'll talk about this, but the key to this game is the linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. With this matchup, because we know the Patriots, when they do pass, they like quick routes, they like short intermediate routes, and maybe occasionally if something opens up like wide open down the field, he'll let one go if he's feeling good about himself. But coverage with among the linebackers is going to be critical in this. With the tight ends, if they let the tight ends Henry and Jonnu Smith just play action bootleg all over them, it could be a long, painful, exhausting game for the defense. Go ahead, Doug.
Can you say that the Patriots have the best tight end duo in the NFL? Like, am I wrong there? I don't think
because I don't think you think of either one as like a top, tight end, like a top five either, but them together, I don't know if you could list a better duo. Go ahead.
I was going to say, sorry to cut you off. Is there a team out there that uses a two tight end set like that? They might be the only team in the NFL that uses that kind of offense.
Yeah, because
you could make the case.
Go ahead, Doug.
You could make the case for the Niners, maybe, but because they have like those pocket passer quarterbacks in Jimmy Garoppolo to set that up. But I think the Patriots are number one in that because Hunter Henry is leading the team in TDs. For the receiver core right now.
When they signed him, it kind of makes sense now. They had to have known they were taking Mac Jones. with their pick because it just caters to his style of play. And Mac Jones coming out, it was, well, he played at Alabama. Everyone looks good at Alabama. They have better offensive line, better running backs, better receivers. He's a stationary quarterback. That style is outdated. Look at Trey Lance. Look at some of these mobile guys. That's the new style of the NFL. And I do think if Mac Jones goes anywhere else, it doesn't work out as much. He went from Nick Saban to Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. I know Josh McDaniels, you know, there's, you know, all that stuff about him that we can laugh about. But as far as being a coordinator under Bill Belichick, he's one of the best in the business. So he's gone to really good situations. Let's credit the coaching a lot with that. But he is having his success that he is having, and it's working for them. Whether you want to say his ceiling is low or not, I mean, time will tell with that. But as of right now, they're on a 6-game win streak. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So it'll be interesting to see. They try to get the ball out quick. So, yeah, I'll get you in one sec, Doug. They try to get the ball out quick like they did with Brady. And I'm not saying he's Brady, but this is kind of how they kind of started that process with him. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm just going to break it for not only just Bills Mafia, but like NFL fans in general. Not every single quarterback is going to come out like Mahomes.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And there are, I just see people tweeting all the time, like, oh, he's not that good. He's a check down. I mean, that's kind of key to his development. Yeah, he's a, yeah, for sure. I can't disagree that he's a check down king, but that's how you develop a quarterback who is a bit more raw. That's how, because you want to give your quarterback the easy reads, and the, and that's why his completion percentage is good. That's why his, that's why his numbers are respectable. That is, they are doing it the right way. Because every other quarterback, look at Zach Wilson. He got thrown to the freaking wolves, and now he looks terrible. Freaking Justin Fields. Like, he hasn't even looked bad this year, but that line is still trash. So Mac Jones, he is, like, the best quarterback because of the situation that he's in. You can go get Gabe.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, you know, how to develop a quarterback. Like, look at Peyton Manning his first year. He got destroyed.
Yeah.
With intercepted. Look at Trevor Lawrence right now. Kind of the same hype that Peyton had coming in. And I'm not... I think Trevor Lawrence is still going to end up being a really good quarterback, but it's just the situation. It's like, I don't think any quarterback would fix what Jacksonville is right now. It's just going to take time. And again, that it Mac Jones, he's probably with the best roster and the best coaching. And yeah, you do take those checkdowns. Who cares if it doesn't look pretty? Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares if you only throw 150 yards a game? Did you win the game? Yes. Did you make any mistakes? No. That's all that matters. That other, like, prettier highlight stuff will come with time. You don't need it right away. And I'm like, I know that's what people look for. Like, but that, I'm sorry, that's just not what makes a great quarterback. Yeah, it's cool and all, but there are a lot of important foundations to build before you do that. Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the Patriot way too. Like, you know, just move, take control of the clock, move down the field, sustain drives, keep the other offense off the field, get the defense tired. Like, that's just, he literally is a new version of Tom Brady. I'm not saying he is Tom Brady, but the things Tom Brady did really well when he was there was he took his shots when he got them. You know, he would dime his way all the way down the field and all of a sudden take a 40-yard shot. I mean, same thing. Mac Jones does the same exact. It's eerily familiar. And that's, I think, what worries a lot of Bills fans, and as it should, because we're going to have to play this guy twice a year for the next 10 years. But, you know, that's what makes me nervous with him is it looks – you know, I remember Tom Brady coming up, and a little bit older than you guys. So I remember him starting out, and it's very, very similar.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that, because when he was winning his first few Super Bowls, I was like, I don't know, like 3 to 5 years old, somewhere in that range. And I'm watching now currently, well, not as we speak, but now the Man in the Arena show is coming out, and you kind of see some old film from then. And not to knock the guy, he did his job right, but they limited Brady a lot. They made it to where the rest of the team kind of won the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had his nice clutch moments, but there was a lot of get it out of his hands, let the defense, the run game, and the short passes win it. Go ahead, Doug. Yeah.
In his first 3 years, he, on an average, he never threw more than 25 touchdowns. The year when he won the Super Bowl, he threw 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
You know, they had stellar defense.
That is, like, people don't talk about, yeah, the reason why they blew out the Colts was because that defense was just destructive. Like, I think it was a divisional when the Patriots won their second Super Bowl in a row, but Peyton Manning had better stats than Tom Brady, but the Patriots won 20-3. Like he just did his job. Like he was just a solid game manager. That's all he needed them to be.
Yeah, he just executed when he needed to execute, and that's the difference between the good teams, the mediocre teams, and the bad teams is they're executing when they need to execute.
And actually, to go more about Brady's development, he didn't even become Brady until 2007, in my opinion, when he threw 50 touchdowns with Randy Moss, and then once the early 2010s came around. That's when he really became like the 4,000 yard, 30 plus touchdowns a year guy. So yeah, it takes time.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to the TB12 podcast.
Every time.
Just kidding. So let's switch sides. So I want to talk about the offensive line that's had its problems. And I want to talk about the Patriots defensive line, especially Matt Judon coming off the right side. That's had some question marks. Are you guys concerned with that matchup?
Yeah. I am worried. I am. I mean, I have a little bit of faith in Spencer Brown, but I can't put too much faith in a rookie to stop, you know, Matt Judon. Matt Judon's an absolute monster. The only good thing, well, not really a good thing, but it's going to force Josh to make, he's going to be running for his life. Probably. Let's face it. Dude's going to be running for his life. And if they can force him to run to the left and throw, it's going to be a long game. So they got to figure it out, and they're probably going to figure it out quick. Otherwise it could get ugly. Turnovers, Josh getting, hit, hands in his face, just not getting him irritated and then taking him out of his game. If you can mentally rattle Josh Allen, you're going to have success. I mean, you can say about any quarterback, but
it's crazy because it seemed like Josh Allen has just been getting destroyed all year long. Like, you know, quarterback hits. Can you guys guess how many, do you guys know how many times he's been sacked this year?
Less than five.
For the entire year?
I don't know. 19.
For the entire year? Jesus. No, it's actually 17, which is the third least amount of sacks, which that's all on Josh Allen. That's him. Yes. Just being that's for him being mobile. That's him. Like any other quarterback, like if a Mac Jones like quarterback was at that line, he'd probably be up to 30 sacks right now.
Absolutely.
So that's not even a knack on Mac Jones. That's just for any pocket passer. So they know what to do with the pressure when it comes. But I will say, I really do think that Spencer Brown is going to be a huge deal breaker. And it's not even just for Matt Judon. Like they have Lawrence Guy, a very underrated defensive tackle. Chase Winovich is a great on the other side as well. I can't remember the second. Is it, what's his last name?
Godchuck.
Yeah, Godchuck. And the defensive tackle from Alabama, Barmore. Okay, yeah. And the inside linebackers, like, I know they're a bit older, but Dante Hightower, he's still been balling out this year, even though he's 30 now. And they just got Vannoy back from the Dolphins. So it's a very, very good front seven.
The only thing that I think that works in our advantage with that is our speed. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel, Stephon, Dawson Knox, even. You could even say Cole, these guys are quick route runners, and you know, if they can get some separation quick and Josh can read it, you know, we can do the same thing the Patriots do. We can, you know, do 11, 12 play drives and take up 6-7 minutes. We don't have to score in 2 minutes. And I think that's what the game plan should be going into this game, is you kind of want to dink and dunk your way down the field, try to run it on first down, get yourself a decent second and six, second and five. Throw a short pass, another short pass, and just kind of take some time, chew the clock, and keep Mac Jones off the field.
Yeah, I was just going to say that controlling the clock is going to be essential in this, because, you know, the Patriots, that's the style they're going to run. They're not going to score quick unless it's a complete broken play.
Yeah.
And, again, I know this is going to sound repetitive, but breaking news, we're going to have bad weather here in December. And that doesn't really help the style of offense the Bills like to run. So that actually kind of leads me to a question I want to ask you guys. Do we need a step up performance from the run game? And when I say run game, I mean the actual running backs. Or do you stick to what you know and win in a way you've done before?
Yeah, DJ? I think when, you know, if you're going to do the weather thing, I hear there's going to be some wind, maybe some precipitation, but this looks like just cold and windy, hopefully no precip. And in that kind of weather, Josh Allen probably has one of three arms that can throw in that kind of stuff. So I'd still let him cook. You know, Matt Stafford and probably Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are the other guys that could throw in that type of wind. If it's 20, 30 mile an hour wind, 40 mile an hour gusts. I'd let Josh Allen cook until a mistake's made. You don't change it. You haven't done it in a year and a half. Don't start now. Don't overthink things on prime time on national TV. Take what their defense gives you. Run it when you can. I don't need them to run the ball. I don't need it 30 times a game. Like you say, the best plays are usually when, you know, plays break down and Josh starts running for his life. Those are the best plays. So if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, actually, I was actually just going to ask, is this can you improvise in this game against Belichick defense?
I think so.
Possibly, because I know, what would you guys rank like the Patriots like secondary in regards? Like, do you really think that with the pieces that they get with adding Jalen Mills, do you really think that it's like something to really be scared of, or is it more of the front seven?
I personally am not overly concerned. Sorry, Gabe. I'm not overly concerned. You know, J.C. Jackson, I think he reminds me of Lattimore. He's a little probably overhyped. I think he's a product of that front seven. I think so. To answer your question, Doug, I think the front seven is probably going to be a little bit more of the key for them than the secondary. Their secondary doesn't really bother me too much.
Because I saw some people talk about where like they think they could probably shut down Diggs, but like they really don't have that personnel. Like I know that Belichick secondaries are always more talented than others, usually very opportunistic with turnovers, but I really think that our depth at wide receiver is actually better this year than last year with the addition of Sanders. So they have way more versatility. So really adds to the script that we were just talking about. Yeah, Gabe?
Yeah, I was going to say to your earlier question, I think personnel-wise, the front might sound better, but Belichick has, like you said, Belichick's always been known for just the way he coaches his secondary and the emphasis he puts on it. Like we talk about, you said J.C. Jackson and Mills, and a kind of an underrated guy who's been developing kind of well for them has been Duggar.
Division two.
So again, a couple big names, but I think with their secondary, I think it's more coaching and schematics, kind of what the Bills at this point without Trey White's going to have to be.
Can you stop? How long can someone stop Stephon Diggs covering him man to man? You know,
to answer that, I think it also depends how long the Patriots offense stays on the field and their defense stays off. I think that's, again, the clock. I can answer that question for you. If the Patriots are three and out every time, defense won't keep up with Stephon Diggs and company. Patriots are on the field for 7 minutes at a time, might have some problems.
Because they need Diggs and Davis to break open for a big play. Because they're not gonna be able to rely on the run game to get them down the field. And if they can lock down Diggs in goal routes and all that, they can absolutely do that. So it really is, yeah.
Isn't it crazy too that normally week to week we're talking about the battles at the line of scrimmage, and this week it's not even that really. It's clock management is probably the key to this whole game, not line of scrimmage play.
I think they kind of intertwine with each other a little bit.
What do you think that goes with what the battle between the coaches in regards to clock management? That's another dimension we haven't even talked about yet.
Yeah. I mean, McDermott, I know we did really well against New England last year, but I think McDermott wants to show that we're not a one-trick pony, that it's not going to be a one-year thing, that we can hang with them now, no matter how good or how bad they're going to be.
Well, I think the fact that we're talking about this game the way that we are, usually with a lot of matchups, I'd say 65 to 70% of games that are played all around the NFL every week, the better quarterback just wins, just because, right? And I don't think anyone's disputing who the better quarterback in this matchup is. But the fact that we're talking about this game the way that we are, nervous, could come down to the wire, I think that just shows the respect of the coaching that's going to be involved in this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Because it's not so much I'm not going to sit here. We're not going to sit here and disrespect Mac Jones. Obviously, he's winning games. They won six straight. I mean, yes. And they could have won a couple other ones. I mean, they're a really good football, a lot better than we expected at this time. We talked about this preseason, and we didn't think they were going to be a problem. You know, we thought the Dolphins were like, we're not making that mistake anymore. But it's weird sitting here, you know, in December talking about the Patriots, and I can't remember a regular season game with this much importance to it. Number one seed, potentially, division, potentially, like a lot of implications. And this is weird having this conversation in December, especially when last year we coasted kind of to the division title. So it's interesting. But like you said, Gabe, it is definitely about respect for Belichick. You got to put some respect on Mac Jones' name because he's executing, limiting his mistakes and doing what he needs to do.
And I will say once again that it is a week-to-week league. Like, the Patriots were 2-4 at some point. Am I wrong on that? I think they were 2-4.
Yeah, they were 2-4, and even some of the games they lost, like Miami to 1 point, they took that to overtime. They only lost by 2 to Tampa. Like, it was, you know, not terrible losses.
Yeah, the only, like, bad loss was against the Saints. Like, that's like the only really bad loss that they had. And then they lost overtime to the Cowboys. And now look at them. Now they're in a 6-game winning streak. So the beginning of the season doesn't matter at all. And it's just, they shouldn't look at the season outlook. You should look at a game outlook. So the Bills have this shot, have this chance. Cause right now the Patriots are hot as hell. It's up to the Bills to destroy that narrative. And we won't know until the game starts.
Yeah,
because that's just how it looks. All right, we can talk numbers all we want, but it's going to come down to that moment.
Yeah. Speaking in numbers, you got to go to Brickyard and get a number 17 and try the new number 14, because you know 17 plus 14 equals, right, guys?
Six.
Yep. So get your ass to Brickyard. Get your ass to Consumers. Get some of the best beer around. And speaking of Brickyard, we do have an event there on Sunday. So when you listen to this on Friday, you have 2 days to get yourself ready for the party. Probably the party of parties before the Monday night game, before an actual tailgate. It's going to be the closest thing to a tailgate you can get to. We have a release with Stevie Johnson, Why So Serious IPA. We'll have him, Andre Reed, Aaron Williams, a couple other special guests. We'll have trivia, giveaways, all kinds of stuff. So it's obviously free to come. The proceeds from the beer go to charity. So come out, Bills Mafia, have a good time at Brickyard Brewing out in Lewiston. And from what I hear, this beer is going to be phenomenal.
Can you make the case that this could be like the Bills Mafia event of the year?
Hey, really? It might be.
Unbiased. Yeah, it could be.
Unbiased. At least the can is phenomenal. I saw the wrapper today, and it's,
I've said it a million times. It's the best looking can I've ever seen.
Yeah. So I don't think anyone's going to want, you guys aren't going to want to miss this. Trainwreck will be there to support.
I might buy a round of shots.
Okay.
I will be, it'll depend what mood I am, but there's a good chance I might.
All right. So not everyone has to go. I want 300 people there. So truck goes broke.
So let me ask you guys, Canada, well, first I'll start by saying this, and I think this goes without saying. I think we all agree on this. The turnover battle is a must win in this one. Mm-hmm. Can I lose the turnover battle in this? And a follow-up to that, is this the most important regular season game in 20-ish years?
Me and Gabe really can't even look far that back, because like nine or 10 the last time where they almost, no, I'm talking about 2007 when they were like almost competent for a wild card, but I really can't think of anything.
No, there's no, this is way bigger than that one.
This game is ginormous, gigantic. I mean, this is probably the biggest game I've ever seen in a regular season. I don't know if I can think of one, honestly. Even through the drought years, I don't know if there was a game that was like, meh. Like, I remember most of those games. You know, I grew up, I remember the Super Bowls and stuff. So I can honestly say I don't remember a regular season game ever being like this. I mean, the hype around it, it has potential to be game of the year. I mean, this should be. I can't wait to watch the Manning cast the following day. because I know they're going to be saying some cool shit. So I think it's, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited and nervous at the same time, but yeah, I don't, again, to answer your question, I don't ever recall, in at least in my experience, in the last 20 years, a game that meant so much in December.
I mean, and then look at the defenses. It's a battle of the number one defense in the the Buffalo Bills and the number two defense in the Patriots. So that's just, it's just an elite matchup on all fronts. And it's going to be, and I think it's going to be low scoring, and it's going to come down just between the wits of McDermott and Belichick. It's going to be, it has all the fronts for a classic.
Did you not get my picture I sent you before the thing started? Patriots are the 10th ranked defense, by the way.
I don't know about that one. That's,
You literally go on.
I just saw it. That's what it's telling me, guy.
Don't get mad at me.
Get mad.
Wait, I think that's yards.
Everyone's opposed to it.
That's yards allowed. I'm talking about points.
Oh, whatever.
Points allowed there first.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're one. It's a battle between one and two.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. The Patriots have allowed 182 points, but the Bills have allowed 190.
Yeah, they're both 1-2 in interceptions. Patriots with 19, Bills with 16. So, and the Patriots, they're fifth in sacks, they're first in interceptions, and you know the list goes on. We're not really analytical people, so
no, really.
That's not what we're known for. We're known for good conversations, but anything with math, don't talk to us. Okay?
Yeah, we're dumb.
We're not going to go to a stat board. We're just going to go to we just tell you how it is.
So I got a question for you, Gabe. Who are you looking to see to be the difference maker on? I'll have you answer the defensive side of the ball, and I want Doug to answer the offensive side of the ball. The key guy here that is going to be a difference maker on either side of the ball. So, Gabe, defense, who do you think is going to be the guy that needs to step up and have a game?
Well, we talked a lot about linebackers having to win this game defensively, and I'm going to stick with that. So I'm going to go Tremaine followed by Star with stopping the run game.
This is tough. Can I choose two people too?
Sure. Yeah, well, they're not good at following directions.
Your offense, though, remember that.
I know that. No, I'm gonna do special teams. So, know what? I'm gonna go with Spencer Brown for the offensive line. He's gonna plug right in there, and which will help with the run game. And then I'm gonna go with Dawson Knox.
Yeah, I'm gonna
critical for third downs.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Doug on the offense one. I thought Dawson Knox personally too. You know, he's gonna have to be a difference maker. You know, Josh might start to look at him now more so on third downs because he's become quite reliable. So he could start being a guy that's gonna be another option besides Cole Beasley to get those to extend those drives. And defensively, I actually have the guy opposite of Gabe's prediction, Star. I think Ed Oliver. I think Star, the focus of having a block Star will make Ed Oliver be able to eat and be very disruptive. I mean, I watched Cover One did a clip. I believe Aaron Quinn did a couple clips of Ed Oliver and said that man should have got a piece of that turkey leg too, because he was in Simeon's face the entire game. So I think same kind of recipe here is, have New England focus so much on Star and stopping him so that he can't be disruptive, that Ed Oliver needs to step up and be super disruptive. I think that those two guys are both my major keys to this game.
Well, in the trenches wise, the Patriots are actually going to be facing the Bills at their best, with the offensive line going to be the way it is. And with Star in there, they're going to be facing the absolute best because with the Colts, they did not have that at all. Yeah. I know rain was a huge factor. I was there.
I do have to say too, another thing that we had to think about too, I talked about Josh Allen being able to throw in this wind and this weather is, you know, Mac Jones. I don't know if he's ever thrown in kind of weather like this, you know, and doesn't even have a strong enough arm to throw in weather like this. So it could really limit what they try to do offensively. If the wind is as nasty as they say it's going to be, you know, we got a quarterback that throws piss missiles and hurricane force winds, and Mac Jones was playing football in Alabama with not really any kind of adversity weather-wise. Plus his fucking name's like Mackerel or something. It's fucking, what the fuck is that? Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. His real name's like Mackerel or Mackerel. It's something so
macaroni.
It's something so stupid.
Hang on. Let me,
he looks like, he looks like a Mackerel
with that body of his. Yeah.
Right.
Michael McCorkle.
McCorkle, that's what it is.
What the shit?
Yeah. McCorkle?
McCorkle. Michael McCorkle.
Oh boy.
I like respect though. He isn't packed. Like he has my body.
Yeah.
Like he really does. Like he's not built at all.
I can't wait for the ladies to see your body at Brickyard on Sunday and realize that you do not have Mac Jones' body.
Oh boy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Talk about disappointment.
No, I can't even comment on that because then we're gonna have to like shut down this entire.
No, we're not continuing that conversation.
Yeah, but yeah, McCorkle, I like the wind. I like Josh in that weather.
DJ, yeah, but back to that conversation we were having. Again, it goes back to you got to take away the short stuff. You got to take away the run. You got to take away the screens. And because if you let him do it, he's going to just keep doing it. He doesn't care about doing a big play. If you just give him the underneath stuff, he'll take it all day long.
Yeah, that's the difference between him and Josh. I think Josh will get frustrated if things aren't going his way and try to force things. And that's like his tragic flaw. And I don't hate it. I hate it when it doesn't work out. But I think he gets annoyed when things aren't being executed properly. So he doesn't look at the easy throw. He tries to make a throw that he shouldn't be making or it isn't open for him. So I think that Josh too has to stay patient. I think that's a really big key too. You know, we talk about Josh being this great and most athletic quarterback in the league and all this stuff, which he is, but he's not patient. He's no. Definitely, you know, he's got to be an Irish guy because we're not patient. So he's not paid. He doesn't wait sometimes for things. He often looks lately too. I've been seeing more of it where he has guys open underneath or for an easier throw and he's not seeing them or just choosing not to throw it there, which is a little concerning too, but that's another topic for another day. But I think, you know, I give us a slight edge in this game because of Josh Allen. I think he, like I've told you guys 100 times, I don't know if there's many players in the league that want things more than how he wants them. So,
yeah, I think
go ahead.
No, you can go.
Okay. I was going to say before we do predictions, I kind of want to do a little analysis on the like AFC playoff picture because it is a mess right now. There's no clear number one. Like the difference between 1 and 7 is like a game and a half.
The AFC is a clusterfuck in week and it's. And like if the Browns had beaten the Ravens, then this game would be for the number one seed.
Yeah.
So it's just unfortunate that didn't work out, but it's really, like I said before, it's a week to week league. And it's like Bills can prove themselves to be the number one team by getting this win.
I don't think that Baltimore can keep this up.
No,
it's not that I don't think Baltimore is a good team. I just don't think they can keep it up. They won't be the one seed in my opinion. And in Tennessee, again, they won't be the number one. I think honestly, the number one seed is going to be us, Kansas City or New England.
And right now the AFC is crowded, but like, look at the other teams as well. Like I think the Bengals are way too young. They've really impressed me so far, but
but they're so good.
I think by playoff time, they're not going to be able to keep this together. They're not.
No, probably not.
They're not. I mean, they're way ahead of the rebuild, ahead. So I'll give them credit for that. And then there's the Colts, who I think is like on the second of that tier.
It's going to be hard for them to even.
They have way too many losses now.
Yeah, I think the Colts too the Colts thing too is I think they're peaking. They do this. Seem to do this every year before the playoffs. They peak too early. And then they get smacked around in the playoffs. Not smacked. I mean, I guess that's the word I'm going to use, but you know what I mean? Like, it seems like they peak early, and then by the time they get there, they're kind of like, eh.
And they the Chargers are the clusterfuck as well because they look freaking brilliant in the beginning of the year, and now, like, they just got smacked by the Broncos, and it's like, and then the Broncos are, like, in that conversation, too.
Well, the Chargers, it's like every other week.
They look brilliant 1 week, then they get destroyed the next week, and it's like...
That's still growing pains, though, I think, with Herbert, his second year. I think there's some growing
head coach.
Yeah, I think there's some growing pains still there. I'm not worried about the Chargers. They're going to be a problem for the next, you know, for however many years Herbert's there. So I think your contenders, not pretenders things are probably Kansas City, Buffalo, the Ravens,
Titans,
maybe.
If they get Henry.
If they get Henry back.
I mean, they're not without AJ Brown for the rest of the year.
No, he's only out for three weeks. He's eligible to return week 16.
Yeah.
He'll be there for the playoffs.
Yeah. And Henry, I mean, he'll be back. If he is back, he's back for the first round, which you're going to, you know, that's a lot of burden to put on a guy who broke his foot. So it's you know, how effective is he really going to be?
I feel like Derrick Henry's the type of guy that can overcome that. Like, he's
a running back trying to run on a repaired broken foot. I don't know. And they're going to rely on him heavy. That's the only way they win a playoff game is Derrick Henry. They can't win a playoff game without Derrick Henry.
No, I even said it before. I really, really don't think that the number one seed is going to matter in the AFC at most, because I feel like it's going to come down to who's the hottest.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, like if the Patriots, you know, just for an example, I'm no Nostradamus or anything like that, but if the Patriots are like the 2 seed or 3 seed and they're playing what they are now, I could see them like going around in the playoffs. Same thing for the Bills. Like, it's really going to come down. A number one seed could 100% be upset, even if it's the Bills or Patriots. Like, it's going to come down to there's no big Chiefs team like 14-2 or anything like that.
I think being healthy as well will be a factor going into the playoffs. Who's the healthiest? I mean, we're getting healthy right now, which is great. We can put string our little run together here. But again, I don't want to peak too early either. You know, I would like the number one seed if we can get it. You know, we got a little uphill battle to get it. But because we looked at, if the playoffs started today, we'd be playing the Titans again. And I'm not overly confident in that. So like the higher the seed, the better. We get hopefully the weaker of the opponents. I want the guys that are scraping to get in.
I mean, and 10 wins is the threshold. That's really it. And just going and make a run. But I do, I obviously want the number one seed, but I'm just saying if it doesn't happen, then we shouldn't be too upset.
Yeah.
All right, boys, predictions?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go first. This is going to be tough. We're going to sweat this one out 100%. We're going to be sitting there having an aneurysm, but I'm going to do this. 21-20 Bills. We're going to sweat it out till the end. It's going to be rough, but we'll see. And it can honestly go either way.
Yeah, I got go ahead, Gabe.
Okay. I'm going to go, I don't know, this is tough. 27-24 Bills.
Yeah, I would say I like 28-24 Bills.
1 point different from
mine. Okay. That's what I was going to say. Well,
we tell you. I wasn't on sync with you guys, so I guess I'll leave.
I think it's going to be tight. I don't want this much anxiety on a Monday night. So this is going to good thing. I'll have some Wiso Serious to drink. We leveled out.
Nice plug.
You like that?
Yeah.
I got one more thing to plug, by the way.
Okay.
We'll have a debut. We haven't named it yet, but this Monday night during the Bills Patriots Monday night game at halftime, we will be doing a live reaction show. We'll be talking about 10 minutes. We'll be talking about what the Bills are doing right or wrong and what kind of adjustments they need to make in the second half to either keep the pressure on or to try to turn it up a notch. It's presented by Trainwreck Sports. So make sure everyone, you check out that. I believe we are the only live halftime show. So I know everyone's on Twitter bitching and pissing and moaning because we'll be down and everyone will think the sky is falling. So make sure you watch us. We will bring you back to earth. That is what we do. We do not overreact. So
we are realists. We're therapists without the certification.
Yeah. None of us are certified. But
certified table breakers, but not certified therapists.
Exactly. Oh, that shirt will be out too on Sunday for that's another plug. But yeah, we will be live. We'll be hopefully being able to talk you guys off the ledge for most weeks because the overreactions at halftime are insane. So be sure to join us on the Trainwreck Sports Twitter page.
Dope.
One thing I forgot earlier. We didn't do Buffalo's best blitzer of the week.
I was going to say that. We completely forgot.
So we'll do it now. As you know, we record at Buffalo's Best Bar and Grill. Great food, great service, great time. Well, I like what I did there. So, and this week we're going to do Jordan Poyer. Got an interception last week. Might need him to do it again this week. So Jordan Poyer is our blitzer of the week.
Yes, sir.
Guys, that doesn't match my notes. I have OJ Simpson. Did you send me the wrong memo?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, sorry. That was from our podcast from 30 years ago.
Jeez, man. You guys are sending me the wrong shit. I'm looking like an asshole.
That was for the police podcast we did in 1994.
OJ, we love you, kind of. Not really, though.
No comment.
I love the idea of you, I guess.
You were a great running back. That's about it. So make sure you guys, what do we do, the plugging? Subscribe.
Follow. Subscribe. 71 Blitz, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the back of your milk carton, on the side of Electric Avenue, the back of your white Bronco. Anywhere you can listen to get your Premier Bills content. But also, go on Apple Podcasts and give us a nice review because we want to hear what you guys want to say. We want to know what we can do better, if we freaking suck. Honestly, anything. You just rate us one. We don't care. Or rate us 3.5. Do what you want. We want to get more reviews on there and really increase that total. So do that, and we'll give you something.
Yeah, and if you're disappointed by Doug's body on Sunday, you can hit him.
Okay, if they're gonna be disappointed by your body, then I hate to break it to you, DJ.
What do you mean? For 36, I'm phenomenal.
This is really where we're at.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I mean, we've ran out of content.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see everybody Sunday, right?
Everyone relax. Enjoy yourselves while you can. Drink some Pepto-Bismol. And, just enjoy yourselves. And we'll see you Sunday. We'll see you Monday. And we'll see you again probably Tuesday. Or why the hell not?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Go Bills.
See you next week, Table Breakers.
See ya.